Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we declare that we will continue on this spiritual journey in Jesus' name. Father, we will not be moved by the enemy, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, the kingdom suffered violence. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare that we will take back everything the enemy has stolen in Jesus' name. We will not go back. We will not retreat. We will not be moved. We declare the season of Joshua and Caleb, and that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, that we will intend the territory or inherit the territory, that even giants bow at the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we declare that the walls of Jericho will fall in Jesus' name. Lord, we declare the advancement of your kingdom in Jesus' name. Father, we declare a release of supernatural provisions even now. Lord, we call forth every speckle of silver, every talent needed to rebuild the altar of the living God. Lord, we ask that you continue. Lord God, to store up the spoils that will be released when the dust is cleared. Father, we declare that we are more than conquerors through you, that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is Christ. We are sheep for the slaughter, for thy sake. But neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall keep us from receiving the fullness of the promises of God. In Jesus' name, we bind the spirit of Antichrist, including Antichrist spirits behind the breakdown of family and unity. We bind the Absalom spirit, Asoret, Ahab, Jezebel, divination, witchcraft, controlling spirit, deception, oppression, false prophetic spirit. We bind every counterfeit spirit, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus. We bind every false dreams and visions, false doctrine, false religion, denominationalism, idolatry, vagabond spirit, rebellion, apathy, laziness, slothfulness, fear, unbelief, lust, pride, spirit of the world, disunity, distrust, offense, strife, contention, envy, competition, covetousness, accusation, unforgiveness, hatred, rage, abuse, substance abuse, addiction, lawlessness, lack, gossip, murmuring, complaining, backbiting, babble. We cast down words spoken against the ministry, rulers of darkness preventing all people from seeing and receiving truth. We bind the hindering spirits, O God, in the name of Jesus. We bind heaviness, mind-binding spirits, soul ties, false burdens, indecisiveness, legalism, spiritual espionage, jealousy, and murdering spirit, and spontaneity. Father, in the name of Jesus, we loose the angelic host assigned to this ministry. We loose the ministering angels and the warring angels, fruit of the Spirit, with abundance of love, faith, and meekness. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, conviction, repentance, salvation with evidence of speaking in tongues, open minds, softened hearts, righteousness, holiness, passion for Jesus Christ, boldness, favor, strength, steadfastness, perseverance, forgiveness, trust, compassion, accountability, a chaste tongue. We lose submission to God's authority, obedience, godly contentment, liberty, deliverance, restoration, healing, breakthrough, provision, unity, knowledge, understanding, discernment, spiritual hearing and vision, clarity, truth, gifts and anointing of the Holy Spirit, ministerial opportunities, and the full manifestation of God's plan for the house of Christ and the house of David ministries. Father, we know that the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds. Father, we pull down every stronghold in Jesus' name. Father, you already beheld Satan as lightning that falls from heaven. Father, we thank you that you have given us the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall hurt this ministry in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you and we bless you. And we lift you up and we give you the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. welcome to another episode of the House of Christ Ministries Presents, Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com. Or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com, our online bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com, our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.com. Our online Bible College at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated School of Ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., in association with the Tony Owens Ministry, Inc., at www.riversofrevival.com. House of Christ Ministries now supports food for the poor. We need your financial support in our effort to raise funds to assist their work. Food for the Poor is helping the poorest of poor in 17 Latin American and Caribbean countries, including Jamaica. There are no easy fix when it comes to poverty. Your donation will help to alleviate some of the pressing issues facing the poor. I pray that you will find it in your hearts to give. You can visit us at www.foodforthepoor.org/Christ Ministries. All donations will be appreciated. All donations are tax deductible under Internal Revenue Code Section 501(c)(3). If you prefer to mail a check, please make it payable to Food for the Poor, Inc., and it should be mailed to 6401 Lyons Road, Coconut Creek, Florida, 33073. Please write on the check's memo line SC80192 to ensure proper tracking. God bless you, and I pray that you will support this worthy cause. House of Christ Ministries, Inc. is a member of the Tony Owens Ministry, Incorporated. We are an apostolic ministry that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ through a variety of mediums, from our radio broadcast every Sunday and Wednesdays, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, which starts at 8:30 p.m. on www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis, to our monthly mailing lessons, our social Christian network, our online Bible Institute and Bible College, our posting of Words of the Day on numerous websites. We are reaching hundreds throughout the world for Jesus Christ. It is our desire to take the uncompromised and anointed Word of God to the whole world, starting with our local community, bringing lost souls to a practical relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission at House of Christ Ministries is to proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world and prepare believers and non-believers how to live independently and have dominion to reign over the enemies of this world. We encourage you to sow into this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and winning souls for the kingdom. Your prayer and financial support are important components to bringing the gospel to the world. Together, we can make a difference. If you would like to send your prayer request or share a testimony or make a donation or love offering, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003, or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. House of Christ Ministries, Inc. is a member of the Tony Owens Ministry. We trust that you will support our efforts in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. All donations are tax deductible under Internal Revenue Code, Section 501(c)(3). God bless you as we continue on this spiritual journey.
Thank you.
We believe the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible Word of God. We believe that there is one God eternally existent in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the blessed hope, which is the rapture of the Church of God, which is in Christ at His return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance, faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and being baptized in water. We believe that regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe that the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body in answer to believing prayer. We believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 4, is given to believers who ask for it. We believe in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy and separated life in this present world. We believe in the Great Commission, according to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and Mark chapter 16, verses 17 through 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word, with signs following them. Amen. And let us take a look at Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, which says, When they therefore come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. But we must be prepared for opposition. Acts chapter 4, verses 3 to 4 says, And they laid hands on them, and put them in hold unto the next day. For it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. The religious leaders of Jesus Christ's day had hoped his death would silence the Jesus movement. They were deeply concerned when the disciples continued to preach in Jesus' name. A crowd gathered after Peter and John healed a crippled man. They seized the opportunity to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and give credit to Jesus and were consequently jailed. Sometimes people think that after they choose to live for God, that life gets easier. That is far from the truth. Peter was probably not surprised by his imprisonment because he had heard Jesus' warning. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you, and they will hand you over to the synagogues and put you in prison. And all an account of my name. Luke chapter 21, verse 12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Beloved, like Peter, we must be prepared for opposition as we live for Jesus Christ. Continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission. Our number one goal is Jesus Christ. Our mission is souls, and our vision is the last day's book of Acts. I encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our lesson in a series, Supernatural Faith. Tonight's lessons will be Our Strength is in God's Presence. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. There is an intimate relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, which is always initiated by the shepherd himself. But there has to be a willing to hear and respond to the shepherd's voice. He has long sought you, called to you, prepared for you, and loved you. Now you know the way into the fold. Respond to the shepherd himself, Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you for the privilege of being a member of your flock. Help us to have a clear understanding of the shepherd's voice. Father, I thank you for the shepherd as we obey his voice, which will lead us to freedom, that we may glorify him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our lesson is, our strength is in God's presence. So many Christians are struggling in regards to their faith in God. they become weak in faith, which is largely due to the fact that they are not in God's presence enough. It is because of time away from the Lord that many Christians are weak in their faith. The more that we are in God's presence through prayer, praise, meditation, on and the reading of the Word of God, the greater the reality of God is in our lives, thus greater spiritual strength. The angels do not doubt the reality of God because they are continually in His presence, causing faith to be strong and God's will manifested. They do not question God, for they know and see that He is God. It is sin that removes us from God's presence, including the entertainment of thoughts of sin. This is what happened to the fallen angels, in that they entertained Satan's suggestions of rebellion against God, causing them to lose spiritual sight, truth in God, and spiritual strength, which is in God's presence. Moses knew the importance of God's presence. As with Moses, we the Christian must learn to desire and appreciate the importance and benefits of having God's presence with us. Exodus chapter 33, verses 14 through 15 says, "And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." To better understand the importance of God's presence, let us understand the word presence from both Hebrew and Greek languages. The Hebrew word for presence is panim, pronounced panim, meaning the face as the part that turns. The Greek word for presence is enopion, pronounced enopion, meaning in the face of, before, in the presence, sight of. From both the Hebrew and Greek definitions of the word presence, we can see that it refers to both having God's presence there and having His face turned towards someone or something, or being in His sight and view. Beloved child of God, please know that it is a great blessing to be in God's constant sight. You see, when you are in His sight, He identifies your needs, wants, and desires, and He makes sure that no need goes unmet. We sing the song that says, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches over me. This is true for those who are in God's presence. Please don't be presumptuous, thinking that because you confessed Christ, that you are in God's presence. The children of Israel were in covenant with God, yet His presence could leave. Getting back to Moses, we find that when Moses was in God's presence, he was equipped and outfitted to do the miraculous. Not only was Moses desirous to have God's presence personally, but he sought God's presence collectively for the people that he had been called to lead. When looking at Exodus chapter 33, verses 14 through 15, we see that Moses did not want to go anywhere without God's presence. He knew that his victory was in God's presence. The knowledge that he needed to lead the people was in God's presence. His provisions was in God's presence. understood that on his own he was nothing. But with God, nothing was impossible. God promised Moses that he would go with him. We see that this was true, for God was with them in the cloud that followed them by day, and the pillar of fire that was with them at night. In addition, his presence was with them, which was represented by the mercy seat that was between two cherubims and the Ark of the Covenant. This is why they carried the Ark into battle before them, for it was God's presence that would overthrow and conquer their enemies. The fullness of joy in his presence. Now we must address a question, which is, why do we need to be in God's presence? Some feel that life without God is good to them, while others believe a little bit of God is enough to give them security about eternal life. All of these reasons never completely fill and meet the needs of people. You have built within you an ability and need to be filled to the capacity with joy. The world has so much despair, sickness, hurt, and brokenness. God did not make or design man for these terrible things. Rather, it was because of man's separation from God that this happened. God created man to maximize his capacity of joy. Yet this could only happen in God's presence. Psalms chapter 16 verse 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Let us examine the words fullness and joy from the Hebrew to better understand what was being said in this text of Scripture. The Hebrew word for fullness is soba, meaning satisfaction of food, joy, having enough. Satisfying, be satisfied. The Hebrew word for joy is simcha, pronounced simcha, meaning glee, exceeding, gladness, joyfulness, mirth, pleasure, and rejoicing. In God's presence, we are filled with happiness, to complete satisfaction, causing exceeding gladness, pleasure, and rejoicing. This reminds me of the response of those who had been in the presence of Jesus Christ. When they were in his presence, they were filled with satisfaction, having their greatest needs met, causing them to rejoice greatly. Beloved, in God's presence, we are satisfied and rejoice. It is there that provisions come to meet our needs. It is there that healing and deliverance comes, causing us to rejoice in the freedom that we now have, being liberated from the enemy's devices. It is there that every need is met and the burdens of our hearts addressed. These are not just personal burdens, but also the burdens that we carry for others. So many Christians go lacking because they are not where God's provisions are given, which is in his presence, causing them to not rejoice because their needs have not been satisfied. There is no joy or satisfaction in sickness, poverty, demonic oppression, confusion, or thought due to a lack of godly direction. I want the fullness of joy, which can only be obtained in my glorious God's presence. In God's presence, we will find healing, deliverance, provisions, miracles, salvation for the lost, breakthrough and answers to prayer, revival, in-depth teaching, supernatural revelation, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, God's direction for your lives, and much more. The reason for our present defeat. How often we found ourselves lacking in various areas of our lives. When we need healing, we lacked it. When we needed direction, we lacked it. When we needed provision, we lacked it. We had often experienced defeat after defeat. This happened most often when we are not in God's presence. We found it to be true in our lives that the more we spend time in God's presence, the less struggles we have in the natural, and the greater peace, satisfaction, and joy we experience, even when we are doing God's work, with the enemy trying to resist it. When we are in God's presence, our effort can be less, while the results are much greater. So many Christians are defeated because they will not get into the presence of God. So many ministries and churches lack provisions and don't experience growth and breakthrough because they do not take seriously the need to get into God's presence. They think that it's a matter of choice, but don't realize that it is a matter of necessity. Many of these people, ministries and churches say, if we just give out more tracts, having more events, get more money, have a bigger building, then more people would come to our ministry or church. The individual Christian feels that if they just take a second job, then their bills will be paid. How wrong we are. Our God is able to supply our needs right where we are, yet we must get into His presence and stay there to have a constant supply. Many try to make excuses for God's word as if He is a liar because they have not been in His presence. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There is absolutely nothing wrong with this scripture. Neither does it need us to make excuses for it. The problem that we are experiencing is from not being where the supplies are being distributed. Beloved child of God, your struggle is not to heal the sick, cast out devil, birth revival, or get your needs met. Rather, your struggle is to truly get into the presence of God through the doorway of repentance, prayer, and praise. The enemies try to block the door, camouflage it, conceal it, distract you and discourage you from entering into it. The enemy knows that his defeat comes from Christian who is in the presence of God. It is not your might or power, rather God's Spirit and birth that births victory. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Beloved, our breakthrough, healing, deliverance, provisions, or anything else is not our ability, might, and power, rather by God's Spirit. When we get into the presence of God, His Spirit is there. Who then birthed forth our victories? The things that we obtain by being in God's presence are anointing, healing, provisions, deliverance, answered prayer, etc., is also best kept and manifested by staying or continuing in God's presence. You may ask God for healing anointing in His presence and then receive it. Yet, you must stay in God's presence to keep it flowing through you. The wrong view. Christians often look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, life, and work in awe of things that He did. To have us awed and amazed by not the reason that Jesus Christ did what He did. The fact is that He, Jesus Christ, does not intend for us to look at His life with awe and amazement, which causes many to gaze and not work. Rather, He wants us to view His life as an example to follow. Jesus Christ was constantly in the Father's presence, getting supplies that He would need for each day. He would get supernatural revelation from the Father's presence, healing from the Father's presence, dynamic teaching from the Father's presence, deliverance from the Father's presence, provisions from the Father's presence, contentment with His call from the Father's presence. His life was a roadmap that was intended to show us the need to be in the Father's presence. He wanted us to see that all those supernatural things that He did was first obtained in His Father's presence. Each morning, He would get into the Father's presence to receive the things necessary for the day ahead. Such power in His presence. There is such power in God's presence. His presence can be so abundant in a place or around a person that the wicked perish before it. Psalm 68 verse 2 says, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away as wax melted before the fire. Let the wicked perish at the presence of God. This is what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. When they did not realize that Peter was in God's presence and spoke on his behalf. Acts chapter 5 verses 1 through 10 says, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours later, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her beside her husband. This happened because they thought they were in the presence of a man, and thus lying to a man, never realizing that that man was in the presence of God, speaking on God's behalf, thus lying was not to the man, rather to God, causing immediate judgment. Submission to God's will keeps us in His presence. Many times we step out of God's presence when we step out of His known will. God can tell you a long-term plan regarding what He desires for you to do. And along the way, you can have desires from your flesh or the enemy that go contrary or try to add unto God's plan. It is here that the enemy often moves in a person or moves a person from God's presence. You then begin to seek God for confirmation regarding attaching your desires and all the devil's influences in His God's plan. God often does not answer you here, because He has not changed, altered, or added to His original plan for you. This causes you now to be open to further deception from the enemy, including thoughts, dreams, and suggestions, which often cause you to be confused. When you move into confusion, for this often happens when the Christian steps out of God's known will, you step out of God's will, thus His presence through sin or disobedience to the original plan. The truth about the temple. Beloved, you are a temple. A true temple is a place of worship of the one true living God, whom the Christians serve. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye are of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." A temple can be for the worship of God, for His presence to come in, yet things done by the priest or those who serve in the temple can cause Him, God, not to come in or reside in His fullness. In the Old Testament, God's covenant people were required to move the dirt, which was symbolic of sin, off their hands and feet by washing them in the laver before they came into the temple. They were also required to offer a sacrifice for forgiveness of sins, which we who are Christians have through Jesus Christ sacrifice. Sin causes the presence of God to stay out of the temple, thus causing a lack of victory and power in the person who is in God's temple. Beloved, you are God's temple. If you desire His presence in it, that will break forth victories in your lives, then you must be holy. Be ye holy. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, "Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Your temple is meant for God's presence to dwell, as well as a place for prayer and communications with God. Your temple has a twofold purpose. The first is having God's presence with us, and the second is having God's presence with us and working through us. We who are Christians are not called to have a stationary or fixed temple, rather a movable temple that can go where the needs of humanity may be. Wherever you, the temple of God, goes, there you are supposed to bring His presence, thus His provision and power to remedy situations. As a priest of that temple, you should lead those who come to you in the removing of their sins through repentance, the accepting of God's great sacrifice on their behalf, which is Jesus Christ, teaching them of or affording them restoration with God, thus opportunity to remedy their circumstances. You are not called to be a stone temple that people come to look at and be in awe of its structure. Rather, you are a temple not made with hands that facilitates the presence of the living God. To have God's presence in your temple, you must determine to be a true temple that fulfills God's purposes and is not just a traditional show for people to see. What keeps us out of God's presence and God's presence out of us? As we endeavor to explain this particular point, I want to first establish a very deep truth, which is, just because a Christian prays to and praises God does not mean that they are in God's presence or as God's presence in themselves. God's presence comes in when sin goes out. So what keeps us out of God's presence? Unrepentant sin and the guilt associated with it. Sin causes us to hide from God's presence, for such was the case with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve used natural things to hide from the presence of the spiritual God because of sin. Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 through 10 says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Adam was naked because the glory that is associated with God's presence did not cover him any longer. The act of hiding from God because of sin is similar to what a Christian's to do. It's similar to what to Christians today. When we sin, we fill our days up with fleshy and natural things. Our fig leaves, with the purpose of leaving no or little room, as well as no time to be in God's presence. This is usually due to fear. This is not reverential fear that honors God's presence and respect Him. Rather, it is fear that stems from the enemy, which he uses as a tool, making us afraid of punishment, making us feel guilty and weighed down with the sin, to keep us from seeking God's restoration. Beloved child of God, do take what I am about to say very seriously. You must be righteous or upright to dwell in God's presence. Psalms chapter 140, verse 13 says, Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. Child of God, what you need is the presence of God, yet it will not be accessible to you in sin. You can be in your church, on the missionary board, be a minister, a pastor, and still have a life that knowingly or unknowingly is sinful. Some sins unforgiveness, being mean, complaining, murmuring, gossiping, little lies, sleeping around, lusting in our minds, being entertained by filth and ungodly things, using the Lord's name in vain. The church does not look at as severe as God does. Thus, we excuse and tolerate them. In doing so, we reject God's presence. Beloved, God is not going to honor your time in the faith or your position. Rather, he looks for obedience from you. He expects you to turn from sins that perhaps you don't want to acknowledge as sins so that you can have his presence. He desires for you to have his presence, yet he will not lower the standard for you to get it. Rather, you must come up to it. You must repent of your sins and then strive to live holy, to get in and stay in God's presence. The devil is constantly trying to cause us not to get into repenting prayer. The washing lava, our bow, that gives us access into the temple, as well as which causes his presence to come in. Many Christians have sought after the power and provisions of God only to come up empty. They have tried many things to bring God's power and provisions into their lives, as well as for their ministries, with little results. They have not come to the realization and acceptance of the fact that God's power is in his presence, and you obtain his presence through repentance, prayer, praise, and living a holy and acceptable life. Today, you have been given the roadmap to God's presence. You no longer have any excuses for not being a temple that has the living God's presence in it.
Would you be free from the burdens of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's one. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power.
Power in the blood.
As we continue on this spiritual journey, our lesson for tonight was our strength is in the presence of God, or our strength is in God's presence. As we come to the end of this teaching, Supernatural Faith, I pray that it was a blessing to you. If you would like more information in tonight's lessons, or you would like to request copies of previous lessons, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003, or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. The Word of God is mighty and powerful and is well able to profoundly influence your lives. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you enter into an eternal and unbreakable covenant with God. At this time, all of His promises are available to you if you receive them by faith.
Reach out,
oh, bless the name of Jesus.
This is an appeal to reach out and touch Jesus.
As He's passing your way right this very moment,
you will find He's not to be there.
I'm talking to you, my sister. I'm talking to you, my brother. I'm talking to some mother. I'm talking to some father right now. I'm talking to that young man. I'm talking to that young woman. Jesus is passing away right now. If you just reach out and touch Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus of Nazareth is passing your way. Somebody just reach out and touch Jesus right now. Everybody of his soul, right now in the name of Jesus, reach out and touch Jesus.
Oh,
is standing at the door of your heart, knocking, listening, and waiting for you to make that decision. For those who have turned away from him, tonight, I ask you to renew your commitment to Jesus Christ. Will you receive Jesus Christ right now?
Reach out.
Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Listen to the appeal to reach out and touch Jesus. As he's passing your way right this very moment,
you will find he's not to be there.
I'm talking to you, my sister. I'm talking to you, my brother. I'm talking to some mother. I'm talking to some father right now. I'm talking to that young man. I'm talking to that young woman. Jesus is passing away right now. If you just reach out and touch Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus of Nazareth is passing away. Somebody just reach out and touch Jesus right now. Everybody of his soul, right now in the name of Jesus,
touch the Lord.
Reach out and touch Jesus.
As he's passing away, you will find he's not to be
to hear your heart cry.
To hear your heart cry.
He's listening, he's listening.
He's passing by this moment.
Oh, this very moment.
Christ said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 says, He said, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. If you would like to receive Jesus Christ in your life, please join me in this prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you admitting that I am a sinner. Right now, Lord, I choose to turn away from sin, and I ask you to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross to take away my sins. I also believe that he rose again from the dead so that I might be forgiven of my sins and made righteous through faith in him. I call upon the name of Jesus Christ to be the Savior and Lord of my life. Lord Jesus, I choose to follow you. And ask that you fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. I declare that right now I am a child of God. I am free from sin and full of the righteousness of God. I am saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the full fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with you all. And he shall reign forever and ever. King of kings, Lord of lords, he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, thanking you for tuning in tonight and reminding you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless you and good night.